Les Kirkendall Barrett, and welcome to another week, your favorite day of the week, A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies from Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett and Jason Bowers.
I'm actually not at home today. If I sound a little echoey, I'm actually in Cincinnati, Ohio, to do the Cincinnati Fringe. And the No Theater, the theater that runs the Fringe, was kind enough to give me space in their theater to do this. So this is the first time I take that back. This is like the second time that I've done the podcast not being at home in my bedroom. So we'll see how this goes.
And what's the theater's the Note Theater?
The No Theater. It's in Cincinnati in the Over the Rhine neighborhood. And actually, if we have listeners from Ohio, from the Cincinnati area, the Fringe Festival is going on. It starts this weekend, and it goes until June 15th. And it's acts from all over the world, all different kinds of performers, and there's just shows.
And depending on when you're listening to this, Les is referring to the first weekend of June of 2019.
Yes, 2019.
Timestamp. Why? I mean, even if you're listening 2 weeks later, you're like, "Oh, I'm gonna be in Cincinnati." Ah, wrong week.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
but you could still go to Indianapolis and see us there in August in Indy Fringe.
Yes, I'll be there in August too. Kurt and I will be at the same festival in August, the Indy Fringe.
Oh, you guys are gonna be together again. That's awesome.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Well, this
together again.
Well, this is how Kurt and I met. You know. And Kurt and I actually met here in Cincinnati.
That's right.
Did you go back to the same spot where you and Kurt met and carve your initials in a tree?
I should. Well,
yeah, but where was it? Could we actually pinpoint the actual location?
We met out in the street near the art school, and I was talking to Catherine Glover, and then you walked up.
Okay. That's inaccurate, because I didn't meet Catherine Glover until 2009.
Or I was there, okay, was it Sadie and Mark then? It was someone who I know.
I feel like you guys have had this very conversation on the podcast before with the same amount of confusion.
We may have, but that's okay. People may have not heard that episode, so this will fill them in with confusing facts. Right. I don't remember. I do remember the end of that festival. It was in 2005, because I had gotten a kind of a rough review, and Les had kind of, from, I forget her name.
From Jackie Demoline.
Yes, that's right.
Rest in peace.
Did she die?
She's no longer with us.
Way to play dumb, Kurt.
Wait, well, I'm sorry, when you say she's no longer with us, she actually died, or she's just no longer writing?
Yeah, no longer on the planet.
Oh, geez, I didn't know that.
Is she parent of someone in a Hallmark movie?
Right.
I'm sorry. Rest in peace. She actually gave me some good advice in her review. She told me, because this is very early for me in performing, and I would come on stage and I have my wallet in my pocket. I would think, well, I don't want anyone to steal my wallet. So I come on stage and do a show. I have my keys and my wallet. And she wrote in the review, this performer has weird bulges.
So are you sure she was talking about your wallet?
Well, I don't know. I thought it was worded kind of weird. But after that, I never did that again. So she did give me good advice. And then after the end of the festival, Les kind of took me to the side and said, look, she's not correct what she wrote about you. Don't worry about it. You know, hang in there. Hang in there, young man.
Kurt.
See, I'm nice.
Promise us something right now, that the name of your memoir will be called Weird Bulges.
Weird Bulges?
Yeah.
Yes, it will be. I promise. In fact, you could pre-order it right now on Amazon. So go ahead.
I want the Audible version.
Speaking of weird, I didn't have a chance to to check in on our friend, but does anybody have any Lori Loughlin news this week?
As a matter of fact, and now, Loughlin, here's me, Jason Ballas. Yeah, I actually was looking stuff up today because I feel like every week you guys come prepared with stories about Lori, and I always just sort of nod and say, oh yeah, I think I heard that. Couple things, although this is my favorite one and it doesn't involve Lori, is William H. Macy was photographed leaving a Ralph's grocery store. It's a big grocery store chain out here in California. It's Kroger and other parts of the country. William H. Macy spotted outside the Ralph's carrying some graduation balloons.
Ooh.
Because their youngest daughter's graduating high school. And so he's got like a congratulations on your graduation balloon, which, you know, wouldn't be newsworthy at all if not for the fact that his wife might go to jail for the college admission scandal.
Right. Too soon. Get some flowers.
What I want to know about this, though, is, first of all, you don't have an assistant that could, like, of all errands to run on your own. You're carrying the thing that literally has the word graduation emblazoned on it and is flying above you as you walk through a parking lot.
But isn't he known to be kind of earthy and not into the Hollywood thing? Pretty much a down-to-earth sort of a guy.
I guess, but I feel like you could call like a Pro Flowers, not a sponsor, but we'd be happy to welcome
right.
you, a Pro Flowers and have them deliver balloons.
Get her an edible arrangement.
Yeah.
Maybe he was hoping there was enough helium in the balloons that it would just float him away.
Like the
away
opening
from
credits
it all.
To Webster back in the 80s.
Right.
That happened in Webster?
Yeah, remember the opening credits of Webster because he was so tiny. He was, you know, it was like these photos of him and what do you call the parents? Mam
Alex,
and Pap or something.
Football player.
Yeah, but he didn't call them like mom and dad. He called them like Mam and Pap or something like that because it wasn't his real parents. And so in the opening credits, it's like photos of them like having fun in the park and it's so joyous. And then he's got balloons in his hand and the next shot is him floating because he's so tiny and he's got balloons in his hand.
That is so terrifying. I have such a fear. I have a fear that I'm going to have so many hot air balloons that I'm going to fly away. And I just, like, I imagine this, and it terrifies me. I think about, like, the point in my mind when I know I've gone too far up in the air. So this Webster business is freaking me out.
Well, don't you think that you could have a fun adventure like that old guy in Up?
No, it's going to be it for me. I'm going to fly into outer space. And the idea just scares me so bad. It's just such a – it's just a – just, you know, you're just flying – I'm just flying in the air realizing that I've just made this horrible decision to hold too many hot air balloons. And this happens to people. It's like, you know, you read about it. It usually happens on like the 4th of July or something. Someone ends up, you know, flying through the air.
But
it's a terrifying
with
thing.
Regular helium balloons, people just accidentally fly in the air. This is a real thing, Kurt, or is this
they
in
sit
your dreams?
On a beach chair. No, I've heard this happening. People sit on a beach chair and they'll start tying up helium balloons to the beach chair and they do like one after another until finally they're just flying through the air. And it doesn't end well for these people.
I've never heard of this happening.
It happens once in a while. It's not a good idea. Life lesson early. Usually I don't have my life lesson so early on in the episode.
I feel like I'm going to just fall into a rabbit hole this weekend of searching YouTube videos for helium balloons gone awry.
Right. Me too. Yeah. Thanks, Kurt, for making the rabbit hole happen.
Wow. And hey,
Speaking of Webster, go ahead. I'm always shocked to learn that Ben Vereen is still alive. He'll be in something. I'll be like, Ben Vereen's still alive?
Yes,
because he played like the uncle. He was the uncle in Webster. And I thought he died some years ago.
I actually thought he did. Maybe it was one of those hoaxes where they started spreading the rumor.
He's around.
No, because a few years back, I actually met Ben Vereen.
Ooh.
I'd say like seven or eight years ago, I met him at an event.
And
I think he's still with us.
Did he heed any words of advice regarding how to stay on the ground if holding a lot of helium balloons?
It also sounds like you met him around the same time you met me. Well, actually, no, you met me. No, it was longer. It was. You met me long. You've known me longer than Ben Vereen.
See.
Name of your second book, by the way.
That's my point exactly.
And speaking of stars,
see, I told you,
who have been around for a long time. Let's talk about the star of this movie, Miss
Black
Morgan
China.
Fairchild.
Oh, Morgan Fairchild. Yes, her too.
Morgan Fairchild.
Now,
the star of Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Now, I, considering what happened in this movie, you guys know that this movie, like, pressed all the buttons, and I love this movie, right?
I figured you'd like this movie.
Yeah, especially one point in particular. Yeah. There was one point I was like, oh, boy,
yeah.
Oh. They better do what they need to do right now.
Not only, and I feel like they did it, and they did it well.
Very well.
Yeah.
Very well.
It's not bad.
So let's get started. Okay, so we started it off.
Well, first of all, the movie is called what?
Oh, Perfect on Paper.
Yes, from Hallmark.
Perfect on Paper on Hallmark. And if you want to go ahead after we're done and watch it, you can find it on YouTube. Now, the recording on YouTube is kind of questionable.
Yeah, which I'd like to point out, last week when you were telling us what the movie was, you made a point of saying to Kurt and to me that, oh, I found a good copy of it. It's not backwards. It's not weird, whatever. So I started watching a movie that, you know, started right at the beginning and, you know, it seemed very Hallmarky, and got about 10 minutes in and realized I wasn't watching the same movie. It was labeled with the right title, but then it stopped at a certain point and the sound kept playing with the – or no, the picture kept playing, but the sound was, like, repeating.
Well, true confession, that is the copy of the movie that I watched.
Oh, so you watched a different movie.
So I got – I watched, like, 5 minutes of it just to see if it worked.
Yes.
Right.
But then it ended up not being the right movie.
Short recap, Kurt. It involves a woman running into some guy that she went to high school with, and he makes driftwood pieces, and that's about all I knew.
Well, oh, I mean...
Oh, and the guy she was dating, her family didn't like.
I'm sorry, he makes driftwood pieces? Mm-hmm. That's
And he sells it by the river.
Just for a living?
Sells it by the river.
Oh, he sells them by the river. He sells driftwood pieces by the river.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it was following now, the Hallmark format.
Oh, it totally was.
There's a side hustle I haven't considered. Woo! Okay, well, the one I watched on YouTube, it had like a frame to it. It had a weird frame.
Yeah, I ended up watching that after you sent me the link, and thank you for that.
Yeah, that was it. But that's because Morgan Fairchild is such a classy lady that even her movies deserve a frame.
She just doesn't write it into her contract that that they get to use the streaming rights of her works.
Right.
Ooh.
Right. Well, okay, so we start off in an office, and I had high hopes for this movie because the woman in the office was wearing glasses. And what does it mean when the movie starts and the woman is wearing glasses? That means
she has cataracts.
Makeover.
A makeover.
When you said she has cataracts?
You said, what does it mean when a woman's wearing glasses? I'm like, I don't know. She is an astigmatism.
I know my makeover.
She looked good. I like this woman with glasses. I found her more attractive with glasses.
I actually did too.
Sexy glasses lady. Yeah.
Now she's from Days of Our Lives.
Oh, who did she play?
Well, yes, she played Ariana Hernandez.
Yes, but she was murdered by the bow tie. She was murdered by the serial killer.
You're gonna need to be more specific.
Well, okay, there was this guy that was a serial killer, and he went around killing a bunch of people in Salem. So he got caught, and he went to jail, but then he went back to court, and they discovered that he had something wrong, something wrong with him that he got off on technicality. So now he's back in Salem again, and dating the chief of police's daughter.
Hmm.
And nobody's happy about it.
I love winding less up. when it comes to soaps and just watching them go.
I think some people are happy with it. But Les, don't you also recognize her from All My Children, where she played Dr. Caro Castillo?
I remember her from Passions.
Oh, where she was
Teresa Lopez Fitzgerald.
So right.
A little research.
Now, you know, on the soap opera Passions, Juliette Mills, remember her? She was on Passions, and it centered around a town in New England called Harmony, and she turned a doll into a boy. And that was the soap opera.
Wait, she turned a doll into a boy?
Yes, look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, it was like Pinocchio, except creepier. Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Passions
we talked about that.
Passions was this soap that was just like bonkers on purpose, and it was like dealt with the supernatural, and they had like witches, and it was nuts.
Well, anyway, let's get into this.
Okay.
It's so funny because now that I'm on the East Coast, I'm like, oh, now I get what Kirk goes through. So I'm like, it's 9:30.
Yeah. See.
Okay. So, like I was saying, we start off. They're in the office. The woman, Natalie, is wearing glasses. Mm-hmm. So I got very excited because she was wearing glasses.
Me too.
And
for all the reason.
And she's talking to her coworker, who for a minute I was wondering if it was Carrie Ann Inaba from Dancing with the Stars, because she looked a lot like Carrie Ann Inaba.
Who?
She's a judge on Dancing with the Stars.
Carrie Ann Inaba? I don't know who that is.
She's a judge on Dancing with the Stars, and she's very pretty.
Okay.
But I don't think it was Carrie Ann Inaba. So anyway, they're talking about Natalie had written this book called Tragedy and Triumph.
Can we back up a little bit? The friend is asking her, like, what she's doing tonight. Natalie says she's going out with Josh. And the friend is like, oh, is that the cab driver? And Natalie says, oh, no, I dated him a year ago. And then she says, is it some other guy? And she's like, no, that was over a while ago, too. This person's her friend and doesn't know that she's not dating a guy from a year ago?
Well, you know. It sounds like, from what I gather, going through this movie and how her other friend acts, it seems like Natalie has a track record.
Well, okay. I took it as two things. Yes, she has a type for sure, but Everett was giving her shade about everything. Like, she must have the lowest self-esteem of any Hallmark movie heroine because everyone put her down.
And all, everybody, all of her friends were like, ugh, Natalie, come on, get with it.
Yeah, her friend Avery, is just consumed.
Yeah.
Seriously.
There are scenes in this movie of her just being consumed with Natalie.
Oh, and by the way, Natalie's in Portland. So she's in Portland, right? So we cut to Los Angeles, and a person's on the phone talking to Beverly Wilcox. And Beverly Wilcox is having a problem finding an editor, right? And nobody wants to work with her because Beverly Wilcox is a bitch.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to work with her. And so so the boss of this place, Avery, has an idea, right? But then we cut to Natalie and she's on a date and I wrote, her boyfriend is ugly and emo and a dick.
He looked cheesy AF.
Right.
Which I think was by design. Like they wanted him to look kind of like a loser to sort of sell this narrative that she picks guys that aren't perfect on paper.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, he looked like a guy who's been in a band.
Yeah.
Too long.
Yeah, and an old, like, he looked like a 50-year-old who,
and 50.
Don't send us letters, because I myself am over 50, so I can say this. He looked like a loser 50-year-old.
Oh, wow. I didn't think – not that there's anything wrong with being 50, but I didn't think he looked 50. He looked young, but he looked like, you know, he needed a shower or two.
Or three.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a type.
So she sits down, and he's like, I ordered Merlot. And then they're talking, and he's like, I'm discovering new things about myself. I got a promotion, but I turned it down. And I wrote, he's stoked.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was...
She showed up for this date sort of taken aback by his appearance, too, which led me to wonder, like, how long has it been since they've seen each other? Like, she was, she said something about his hair, like, oh, your hair, like, because it was longer. And, like, had she not seen him in a couple of months?
Because she was really surprised.
Yeah, because she went and she knew about his promotion to accounts manager. So, you know, he was probably kind of clean cut looking when he got that promotion. So did she not see him for a while, or does his hair grow abnormally fast?
Or is it a weave?
It might, yeah. He probably just got off the road, you know. He's playing.
So basically, so
playing at the fire festival. Like,
they show the weather and it's totally raining, just like raining buckets of rain, and then Natalie gets a call from her friend Avery, and Avery's like, hey, you need a job? I can make you an editor, and it's a step up for you. And so it's raining. Natalie looks around, and Natalie's like,
this boyfriend of hers dumped her. Did we say, say that? Yeah, he said he needs some new things in her life, you know, in his life.
Right.
So she's out.
He dumped her, but she should be dumping him.
She kind of asked whether or not she was being dumped. Didn't she kind of open the door for her? Because he was talking about his new life and what, and she asked, you know, am I involved? You know, am I part of this life? And he's like, I don't know.
Right.
Oh, no. I don't think so.
So,
well, the only role I'm going to get in a Hallmark movie.
Right. So then, long story short, the next scene, she's getting off a plane in LA.
Yeah.
And she gets off the plane and she walks into the airport, and this young lady walks up to her and is like, Natalie. And Natalie is like, how did you know it was me? And the woman instantly throw shade.
Yeah.
Like, instantly.
Oh. Is this that blonde woman?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, the assistant.
Okay, yeah.
Isabel. Yeah. And so she totally, like, throws shade, and she was like, oh, I could tell by your clothes.
Yeah, they kept making comments about Portland. Like, I get that Portland and L.A. are somewhat different vibes in terms of people, but they were acting as if – like, L.A. is all high fashion, and Portland is, like, what people perceive the deep, deep South to be.
Right. And basically, I think Portland is just Echo Park anyway.
Yeah, it really is. Portland is L.A. in a way.
So they hop into a limo. And she tries to make conversation with Isabel, like, how long have you been working for Avery? And Isabel is throwing her shade the entire time. And she tells her, remember, L.A. isn't Portland. And then, okay, this next line, I was watching it in a coffee house, so I didn't hear. She says, remember, King Kong is... What did she say?
Oh, you know, I had a little trouble hearing that too, I think.
I had trouble hearing it in that moment, but they referenced it later in the movie. And the line was, King Kong was only 3 feet tall.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. They referenced it later in the movie.
Okay.
King Kong.
The funny thing is judging for this movie, okay, actually that's kind of deep.
Yeah.
But he wasn't 3 feet tall. He was climbing up the Empire State Building.
Well, he may have climbed the building, but he still could have been 3 feet tall. He might have had giant hands. Who knows? I don't know whether or not there is truth behind that fictional character. I'm just saying that was the quote.
So we drive to Avery's house. Avery not only has a fabulous house, Avery has a hot husband.
Yeah, she did.
Who's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Like, really smoking hot.
Yeah, I liked him.
They start drinking wine, and of course, she's like, anything but Merlot. And right. We find out Avery was her old boss in Portland, but I guess they just remained friends. And Avery just starts, like, going in on her about her picking, like, loser guys. Like, going in.
Yeah, this Avery is consumed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
she said, you're not just an editor of books, you're trying to be an editor in life.
Right.
Right. Yes.
Yes. And she's right. She's right.
Well, who said that? So Avery wants Natalie to be an editor in life.
She's saying that anyone should. She's saying that, like, as you go through life, you need to go through and, like, pick what are the best decisions that are going to give you the best outcome long term.
Basically, get your shit together, yes. Honey. So then,
this is where I'm sort of like, I'm not sure about the philosophy this movie puts out, because Avery wants Natalie to find a man that looks good on paper.
Yeah.
And which I actually do, I agree with that to a degree, because there are some fundamental things where I think that people do have to match up, or they're going to have either a lot of stress or a lot of issues.
And judging from her last loser boyfriend, she has a point.
Yeah, you have a point.
Or does she? We don't know any more about that guy than that one scene that we saw. And as we're going to learn in this movie, looks can be deceiving.
Right. Yes. I'm not sure what the point this movie's trying to make, if that's... I don't know. Well, let's explore
it's a don't judge a book further. By your cover message. By its cover
kind of.
And then I started getting really excited because Audrey is like, L.A. is where people come to reinvent themselves, and I wrote in my notes, OMG, there's going to be a makeover.
You love that.
So then...
Now, wait a minute. Did you guys reinvent yourselves when you moved to L.A.? Well, actually, I don't know if you were originally from L.A. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
How about you, Jason?
I mean, in the sense that I wasn't a gay man before I moved here, sure.
Yeah, that too. I wasn't out when I moved to L.A.
Okay.
But I didn't look at it as a reinvention. I mean, you know, I think anyone, whenever they move, no matter where it's to, you kind of look at it as a fresh start of sorts. But, you know, I barely started my life when I moved here. In the bigger picture sense.
So then she's apartment hunting. And she's sitting on this bench, and she's really frustrated, and she throws her coffee back behind her, and her coffee, like, hits this guy, this hot guy, like, really hot.
Yeah. But that annoyed the hell out of me, that moment.
What? That he was hot, or that she hit him with coffee?
The way that she dumped her coffee over her shoulder, nobody does that. Nobody says, you know what, I don't want this coffee, so I'm going to fling the liquid behind me, the hot liquid behind me, without making sure that there isn't something behind me that might get hit by the hot liquid. Nobody does that.
Yeah. So, and the guy in the bushes isn't so hot anymore. His face is now scarred from the molten coffee.
Oh, he looked good with a scar.
Blisters running down his cheeks.
The movie starts out with their meet cute with him getting third degree burns.
He would look good with a scar, though.
He might. We all have scars.
So his name is Cooper.
I have one.
His name is Cooper. And she tells Cooper she's apartment hunting. Cooper's like, I know an apartment. She looks at the apartment. It's a really good apartment.
Yeah.
It's a really good apartment. And then he asks her, are you quiet? Are you single? And then she asks him is this your full-time job?
Do you like to be choked?
Like, no, I surf.
Are you quiet?
So
he mostly surfs, yeah. No, I was going through the landlord questionnaire. Are you single? Do you like to be choked? Are you quiet when doing so?
You're a landlord. Yes. What do you normally ask when people?
Those are the questions I ask.
That's terrifying.
And after that, we would do a credit check, and then we're all set.
If somebody, Kurt, flung, if a prospective tenant flung hot coffee on you, would you even let them view the apartment?
If it was that the hot woman in this movie wearing glasses at the time, that's where I find her, that's where I actually find her hot, when she's wearing the glasses. So if that was the scenario, then yes. If she had the glasses off, then no.
Okay.
These are landlord rules. I could probably get like arrested or sued for these kind of statements.
So not only does she get the place, she tells him, tell the landlord, don't cash the check right away. And he's like, okay. Like, he's really nice. Like, don't cash the check. I don't have the money in my account yet. And he's like, fine with it. So then she goes to work. The office is fabulous. You know, Natalie, she's actually excited because she even has her own office. And Isabel is still being shady.
She had an office that seemed fully furnished, and not just with furniture, but it was like decorated for her already.
Oh, yeah.
It may have been somebody else's who they ousted. I don't know.
Now Avery whispers something Isabel whispers something to Avery. And Natalie finds out that her client is Beverly Wilcox. And then, okay, you guys, the next scene was my favorite soap opera entrance, where it always starts out, a car drives up. You see feet get out of the car.
With like $1 million shoes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Then the feet... They walk. So then they walk into the office, and it turns into like a Devil Wears Prada moment. They start fixing the office and putting champagne on ice, and just, you know, they literally stole this scene from the Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, it's a makeover in a way.
Yeah, it was an office makeover.
So then we find out. So then she, but then. The part of it that I love is they show the feet, and then like the person walks into the room, and then they pan up, and it's Morgan Fairchild.
Dun, dun.
It was a good reveal for Morgan.
Yeah.
And Natalie.
I do like big intros.
Yeah.
Right. Now, meanwhile, Natalie's pissed because she doesn't want to work and edit for Beverly Wilcox. She's a real editor. She wants like. Serious, you know, she doesn't want to edit fluff. And by the way, Beverly Wilcox is a romance novelist.
But like a super famous one.
Like Barbara Cartlin or, you know.
Jackie Collins.
Like Jackie Collins, exactly.
She says, where's my champagne?
Right. And then everybody gets champagne. And then Natalie's like, I don't even like champagne. And Avery's like, you're going to learn to like champagne. And Natalie still is pissed off because she really doesn't want to work for her.
Yeah. She's chowing down on like a giant burger too while Bradley's eating daintily.
Right. But yeah, they're at dinner. She's eating this burger.
Oh, where's that? That's the next scene, yeah.
And Beverly is like, look, I asked for the baby tomato to be placed under the aioli.
The what? Wait, under the what?
Aioli. It's a garlic mayonnaise, basically.
Right.
Oh man, I wouldn't know what that was.
Really? Is it like every menu?
She's aioli. Not happy. So then, okay, so this is a part where Natalie was not smart, because Beverly was like, "What? Which one of my novels is your favorite?"
She has a flashback.
And then she remembers seeing the cover of one of the books.
Yeah,
but then
she remembers.
Beverly asked her, okay, what was your favorite part? And she makes up something, and she didn't make up, like, she didn't have the right answer because she made it up.
She's caught.
And Beverly busts her, and Beverly starts to yell at her, and then Natalie is like, look, screw you. And she walks away. And so Natalie's thinking, okay, I'm done. But then Avery calls her, and Avery's like, what did you say to her? She loves you.
And I wonder why she loved her.
We find out that Natalie has 30 days to deliver this book. Okay.
I think this Natalie needs to suck it up and do the job. This Beverly Wilcox is not that bad. I've seen worse people than this.
Right.
Right.
I know worse people.
Get to work. You have an opportunity here.
Right.
Doesn't look like a lot of opportunities are coming down the pike.
Like, bite your tongue, take the check. You'll get a credit as an editor on a super best-selling book.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you know, as we see further in this movie, this Beverly woman, she doesn't even want any interference.
No, no.
So you don't have to do anything. Just read it.
So anyway,
I wrote that Avery looks a little like. Oh, I thought that Avery looked a little like Shannon Doherty.
Oh, I thought she looked like Emma Stone.
I could see both.
Oh. Huh, okay.
I can see both.
She was cute as well. Mm-hmm. So then Natalie goes back to the apartment, and Cooper shows up, and he's like, you know, you need to have dinner and get the best burger in the city. But Avery is there, and Avery, like, totally cock blocks her. Mm-hmm.
Super judgy about Cooper.
And then, you know, they're talking, and Natalie thinks that he's the maintenance man. And so Avery is like, you can't date the help. You can't date the handyman.
It's a gig.
So then,
he gets tips.
Right?
He gets tips.
Does he?
Well, in some building I worked in, the handy people, they were always getting tips for things. You didn't tip these people, they weren't going to do anything for you. And I disagreed with this philosophy.
So then the next thing, Avery's looking at dating apps for Natalie. And Avery's hot husband is like, you need to let this go, and you need to let her find her own guy. And
that's a bit weird. Wouldn't you be a little concerned? You see your wife looking at dating apps? I'm looking for my friend.
Because he knows his wife. He knows what's up. He's smart.
But what did she do? She opened up an account.
He doesn't care. He's so hot, I could see him being like, well, fine. I'll meet someone else in 5 minutes, so go ahead.
Wow. Yeah, but so what did she do? She opened up an account for Natalie? Is that's what she did?
I know women that actually do that for their friends. And some really? It's like, do it. I don't think it's like this movie where it's not even malicious, but like behind their back. I think some do it with their friend's consent. Like, hey, I have a hard time finding the right guy. Can you help me weed some out?
And Avery was like, her heart was in the right place, actually.
Yeah.
You know, she truly cared for her. That's why she did.
Yeah.
All right. Just trying to figure out what's going on.
So then we see Cooper, he's playing basketball with this little kid, and Natalie walks up to them, and I wrote, wow, this little kid has good manners. He had really good manners.
Yeah.
You know?
And I knew immediately, Coop's like a big brother.
Right. He's like a big brother.
Big brother program kind of thing.
And then we find out, like, she's asking the kid, you know, what do you like? And the kid's like, I like sci-fi movies. And he doesn't like to read. And she's like, do you know all those ideas for sci-fi movies came from books? And I'm going to get you some books to read. So he was really nice to the little kid, which made her – she was really nice to the little kid, which made her look good to Cooper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that an actual storyline in that Hallmark movie where they were trying to save the library and there was a girl there that didn't like books and she was recommended some good books she could read and suddenly she loved reading?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So then the next scene, Natalie shows up at work. It's 9 o'clock and she walks in her office and Beverly Wilcox is sitting in the office and Beverly Wilcox is like, well, it's almost afternoon. I woke up. I went to Pilates. I went to holistic therapy.
I had colonic. I did a teeth cleanse.
And you know what? I can't judge. Yes. It sounds like one of my mornings.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't judge her for all that stuff. I judge her for judging other people for not keeping the same schedule that she does.
I go to yoga in the mornings. I go to Pilates a couple of days a week. I get it. Mm-hmm.
She did a juice cleanse. Well, that didn't take much time. A juice cleanse.
Yeah, a juice. That is funny that she called it a juice. Like, so you had juice. Is that what she's saying? Like, a juice cleanse is usually at least a day of drinking juice and eating no food. But she's saying, like, I did a juice cleanse this morning. That just means that you had juice and not, like, a full breakfast.
And then she tells Natalie. Exactly. She tells Natalie that she looks like she's rolled out of bed. And I'm like, yes, there's going to be a makeover. Because they're talking about her appearance way too much.
Oh, I thought you thought there was going to be a cat fight.
No. Because Morgan Fairchild.
Because you like those too. But you like those too.
Morgan Fairchild could beat anybody. Because she's Morgan Fairchild.
Oh, I think you once put up a video of Joan Collins and what's her name from.
Diane Carroll.
Dynasty. No, Linda. Linda, what's her name?
Linda Evans.
Linda Evans, right?
Yeah,
Linda
the famous
Evans
fight,
and, Joan Collins having like a cat fight.
Alexis,
it's just ridiculous. And, like, rolling around the room. And
well, I love a good cat fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you do.
That's kind of the most famous cat fight of all time on TV, isn't it?
Right. Oh, yeah.
The sofa's falling over.
And those giant shoulder pads that they had in that scene.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's one scene, right? This is like one scene that makes the rounds.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, sorry. Okay. It's the East Coast. Les is getting tired, so.
Right. So then.
Us on the East Coast.
Beverly, I know, right? It's like East Coast. I'm like, oh my God, I get it. I get what's
10:11. Yeah. Early.
Oh, right. Okay. So then. She's like, Beverly's like, well, listen, you're going to pick up my dry cleaning. And she gives her a phone and she's like, I'm giving you this special phone. And when I call, you better answer it.
Now, this woman doesn't have an assistant that could pick up dry cleaning. Like, that's
weird. It's called Natalie. But
that's her editor. She doesn't have like an assistant in addition to that.
Yeah. I'm with Kurt on this. That was absurd to me.
Right.
There are other ways that they could have shown that she's a monster that bosses people around without turning her into treating Natalie like she's an assistant.
Right.
Even an editor might have an assistant. There might be like an intern working in that office.
At a publishing house that big, or you know, that's dealing with a client that big, the publisher of that book would absolutely have an assistant.
She's like, Beverly's like, and you are coming with me to this charity bookbinders event.
No, not that.
And so then we find out that the bookbinders event is like this big deal.
They said it's the most important event in Los Angeles publishing.
And then
is Los Angeles publishing a thing?
I have no idea.
I think we know how to read books, much less write them.
But then the words were uttered that made my day. We have a retail emergency.
We have a retail emergency.
Yes, yeah. You know what that means? It's good. That means there's going to be a makeover montage. So,
yeah. So that's what I wrote. I wrote makeover with three question marks. I said, or Les will be mad.
Oh, and it happened. I would have like thrown my iPad across the room.
Because man, that's like, yeah, it was too much, and it's too much anticipation. If they pulled their punches at this point, man, that would not have been fair to Les.
Right. But then they show her in Avery. They go into the store. And then the makeover montage begins. And it was a really good makeover montage. Like, it really
was
good.
Yeah, it was solid. We've seen some Hallmark movies where they allude to a makeover, and then it's really like they try in one dress and that's it. And this is like they went back in the dressing room a few times.
Right. And
was a shot. Yeah, there was like a panning shot of shoes. It's you know, look, I usually have no vested interest in this, but I don't seem like I'm too excited about this, but they did the right thing.
Yeah,
it hit all the points. It hit. They show the shoes. They show the friends sitting in the chair, nodding yes and no. They do a reveal. They show the hair and the makeup. It was good.
Although, with the start of the scene, it once again called back to the idea that Natalie's clothes are so terrible that they literally were throwing her clothes away in a giant trash bag.
They
were doing quick cuts of like different articles of clothing being handed off, and they were like, ew, and they throw it in the trash bag.
Even her shoes.
Yeah, and they're not just putting them – well, and they're putting them in one of those medical trash disposal things.
They cut to Avery. She's wearing a hazmat suit.
It's so horrible. It's so horrible. It can't go in the regular garbage.
Right. Right. And like an asbestos bag.
Yeah.
So then they cut to Natalie's apartment. Natalie's getting ready. Cooper shows up, and then Avery cockblocks her again.
Yeah, and Avery, let this woman get laid.
Yeah, right? Love a guy. She's working for Beverly Wilcox. Right. I mean, you're hearing that name all the time, and you're getting blocked all the time by your boss.
Right. And so,
and we know someone with that name. Is that right, Les? We know someone with that name, Wilcox.
Beverly Wilcox. Well, it's so funny because actually when it comes up about the name Beverly Wilcox, and I actually have something in common, which we'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
Does it involve the name Kirkendall?
No. It involves the name Wilcox.
Okay.
It involves the name Wilcox.
Okay.
So then Natalie's running to the limo. Coop sees her. She looks amazing. And then she looks so amazing, Coop gives her a flower. And he says, every time I see a beautiful woman, I give her a flower. And Coop's got game.
Take that.
And then, so she goes to the ball. And, She goes to the ball, and they're talking, and is this where she says, I'm a good editor with strong opinions. Oh, Beverly was telling her that. Someone was, when they were in the limo, Beverly's like, you're a good editor, but you have strong opinions.
Yes.
And that's a problem. She's like, that's a problem.
She also grabs that flower.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beverly does.
What was Beverly going to do with that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Then like, have at it.
They get to the party, and Beverly gives her some champagne, and she's like, I don't like champagne. And Beverly's like, learn. And so then she's getting interviewed. Like, so Beverly is getting interviewed by a bunch of reporters, and Beverly is like, hey, you know, this is my new editor, Natalie. And so she introduces her to the press, and then they're interested, but then when Natalie says that she talks about her book that she wrote, they all just kind of walk away.
You thought that was kind of rude.
It was rude.
Well, yeah. But one guy stays.
One guy does. Yes. One guy stays. That's Bob Lewis.
Yes. Boring Bob. By the way, did you recognize him, guys?
No.
No.
I didn't look it up, but I'm nearly certain that's the guy that played Lacey Chabert's boring boyfriend at the beginning of that Safari movie.
I'm sure he did.
Oh, no.
I think it is
him. I'm sure he did.
So he's being pigeonholed into boring people. That's what he plays.
He's working more as an actor than us.
Right.
Poor Bob.
No such thing as being typecast, only getting cast.
He's talking to her, and she's like, well, I worked for Beverly for 2 weeks. And he's like, oh, my God, you must be doing something right. No one's ever lasted that long. You're pretty good. And so then we see Natalie. She's in the limo. She's starving. The limo lets her out, and she goes into the burger joint that Cooper told her about. And it's called Nikki's. But there's a guy in there, and he's like, there's no Nikki. His name is Jake. And so she orders a burger, and then I guess they were getting ready to close, so he yells at the cook to make a burger, and the cook turns out to be Cooper.
Yeah, it was called Nikki's because they got a good deal on a sign
right. That
said Nikki's.
Yeah.
So they called the place Nikki's.
And then he thinks that she was out on a date, but she's like, no, I wasn't on a date. I it was a work thing. And then they're talking about she's talking about the kind of guy that she's looking for, and she's telling Jake that she wants a guy who's good on paper. And yeah. Coop overheard that, and he didn't like it.
Yeah, he was offended.
And then
good on paper.
Then he says something to her, and then she storms out. Natalie storms out. Then at 2 in the morning, Avery wakes up, and Avery's like, oh, my God, I haven't heard from Natalie yet. And her husband's like, it's 2 in the morning.
And oh, wait, who like, stormed out? He stormed out or she did? She did, right?
She did. He went back in the kitchen after he wasn't, like, super mean to her, but, like, he said something to her, and she realized, like, she had kind of said something bad, and she, like, stormed out.
Like she was embarrassed.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And she had nothing to eat.
Right.
Her burger had not arrived.
Yeah.
So then,
Avery.
Okay. So Avery and her husband, right? Or
right. So then she wakes up. It's 2 in the morning. She's like, "Oh no, you know, I haven't heard from her." And she's like, And then he's like, well, why don't you just call her? And she's like, oh, well, I can't. It's 2 in the morning.
Which exactly.
And so then...
This Avery's up this Natalie's ass. So I'm going to give her a break.
Also, it's 2 in the... Like, text her. They had smartphones. This movie wasn't that old.
Well, 2014, I think, right? Yeah.
She could have just said, like, hey, like, are you okay? Did you make it home okay?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I get texts at 2 in the morning all the time to say, you up?
Oh, I do. Oh,
oh, yeah. Oh, really? Wow. Oh, this is joking. Now we know.
There
yep.
There you go. So then.
They actually just send me a picture of an eggplant.
Right.
With emoji.
Oh.
So then we see. We see Natalie, and she's on a date with Bob, the guy from the party.
Bob the lawyer.
Bob the lawyer. And so they're going out for lunch, and they go to this restaurant, and she's like, uh-oh, this is Beverly's favorite restaurant. And he's like, well, let's just go in here anyway, and if we see her, we'll leave. And then she's talking about Beverly, and she's talking about her problems, and he's like, well, why don't you just do what Beverly asks and just take the paycheck and just be done with it? Just don't even worry about it. Just take the money and run. And then we see Cooper. He's cleaning his surfboard while Natalie's trying to get work done.
Well, also, before we get to that, Natalie was saying to Bob that she thinks Beverly's writing is something good underneath the surface, like that nobody's gotten to yet.
Yeah, like if it just has the right editor, this Beverly could really flourish into have some great work out there.
So then Beverly gets a hold of Natalie, and she's pissed because Natalie cut out one of the characters, Alfonso, from the book.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of that, what we were just saying right before, that she thinks that if Beverly has the right editor, she'd be a great writer. I kind of wish they followed through on that, because I thought that was an interesting idea.
I think they kind of did, though.
They did, but they didn't.
Right.
They did, but they didn't.
They did.
Okay, we'll get there. I just wanted to...
Yeah.
Alfonso was cut out.
Right. And Beverly's pissed, and Beverly is like, you do what I say. And then... Bob shows up at the office. Avery's very happy. And then Natalie goes on another date, and she bumps into Cooper and the little kid.
How does Bob have all this free time, by the way? He's a lawyer, and he just keeps showing up out of the blue.
Well, does he have his own? Does he have his own practice, like his own office? So he's kind of like.
But if he's like successful, as we're led to believe, wouldn't he be, I don't know, busy at work?
Right.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, my juice is running out. I gotta find a plug.
Okay.
But I'm still talking.
Okay. Juice. You need a juice cleanse.
Here, I found one.
I don't know too much about how lawyers. What kind of hours lawyers keep?
Okay. Here we go. Hold on. One second. Okay. I'm back. So, I'm back. Uh-oh, and this plug isn't working. We've got to find more juice.
So, this part in the story, I can say that, so she's going to go out to lunch with Bob in a very fancy restaurant. But they see Coop and the kid playing miniature golf across the street.
Yep. And the little kid...
That's where we're at.
The little kid is like, hey, you want to join us? And Coop says something shady to the guy.
He said something about Bob. Bob doesn't really look like the mini putt type.
Right. But the kid is like, oh, no. But then Bob is like, oh, no, I'll do it.
Yeah. Bob needs to puff his chest and prove to us that his penis is small.
Right. It's like a total pissing contest.
He has to prove that his. He has to prove that his penis is small.
Well, because we already suspected when he had the sports car, but now when a kid challenges him to mini golf, he's like, yeah, I got to show this kid up.
Right, exactly.
You don't want to be proven that. You want to disprove that kind of thing.
Well,
going to hiding.
But, I mean, anyone that goes out of their way to try and disprove it is totally proving everyone else's point.
Oh, man. So just – you don't even talk about it.
So then
more life advice.
Hold on, you guys keep talking. I gotta go get my notes.
Where's he going?
Visual of him running off screen when he said that just now. I wish we could have recorded it because it really was funny.
oh, he's back. He just squirt. Yeah, he kind of like. Yeah, I don't.
The way you went out of frame, like that would have been a great visual
he
in any movie.
Just shoots back into it.
Yeah, like, I gotta get my notes, and it was like a cloud of dust behind you.
Well, we'll have to remember that when they make the movie version of this podcast. Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay, so then like
definitely a possibility now.
They play putt golf, and then they get to the last hole, and Bob is like, "I bet $5 that you're not gonna make it." And we could tell that he meant 5,000.
Yeah. 5,000. He may have meant 500,000. No, he may have meant 500. I don't know. 5,000.
And then Cooper's
right.
Like, fine. Cooper's like, fine. And then Natalie gives him a look like, oh, he doesn't have the money. Stop it, Bob. And
stop it.
And then he misses the putt. Or Cooper missed it, but then Cooper says he missed it on purpose.
Well, yeah, they leave, and the kid knows and calls him out and said, you missed it on purpose. And Cooper says, Bob needed me to lose more than I needed to win.
Because he has a small penis.
Yes.
Oh.
So then the next scene, Natalie's out by the pool, and Eli, the little kid, he has like this bag of dirt, and he's pretending like it's really heavy. And then he invites Natalie to go to their community garden, and she agrees, and then he picks up the bag after she walks away.
Oh, I missed that beat. That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, he picks up the bag after she walks away.
This is another beat from a Hallmark movie or a storyline from a Hallmark movie, the concept of a community garden.
Right?
Yes, just we've seen that before.
Is that a big thing in small towns? Like, I had never heard of it before these movies.
No, I don't know. But I have one of those in my backyard. I've got a little box gardens, and the last movie inspired me to work on it, and I never did. So this movie reminded me.
In England. My husband's British, and whenever we go back to England, people always talk about they have an allotment, and it's like a community garden, and they garden in it.
Nice. It's a lovely idea. I just didn't know it was a thing.
So then we find out that
maybe they have that in your neighborhood.
Coop started this community garden.
Yeah.
And then that's when we find out that Coop is like a big brother to Eli. Mm-hmm. And then they go to this taco truck, and they're eating tacos. And Natalie's like, oh, well, these tacos are on me. And the taco truck guy's like, no, if it's Coop or if it's a Coop friend of Coop's, you always eat free here. And so it's kind of, and she's kind of like, huh, you know, that's odd that the guy likes Coop that much.
But then Coop makes his little remark. He makes his little insecure remarks, like he's like, "Well, not everyone can afford Crawford's, which I guess is that expensive restaurant she was going to."
Well, I think that he's trying to be woke. I think. And
yeah, actually,
that
is a better interpretation of it. It makes more sense in the movie.
I guess you could take it that way.
Because every other thing that Coop has done in this movie wasn't coming from a place of insecurity. It was coming from a place of like, hey, I've got all this money and I don't care. Like, whatever. I'm happy-go-lucky. And like even like with the mini golf, like he could have won it and he didn't. So why is he going to take a dig at Cooper now? Or I mean at Bob now?
Okay, you could look at it that way.
So then we see Isabel and Avery's like, okay, we need to make sure that this book is a success and that Beverly likes that this book works out because the company is depending on this book. Like, if this book tanks, we have no company. And so then we see Beverly, and I wrote there at like Griffith Park or like a park.
Yeah, it looked like this one spot in Griffith Park, but then I was like, but there isn't that much greenery behind where that bench is. So I wasn't sure what park, but it was above the city somewhere.
I wonder if this publishing company would be interested in my memoir, Bulges and Pockets, or what was it called?
Weird Bulges. Bulges. Weird Bulges.
Weird Bulges. Yeah. So that if they release that, they would have to worry about this Beverly Wilcox.
Okay.
They might be looking for more content soon.
So then Beverly called her up to Griffith Park, and Beverly is like, listen, I don't like what you're doing with my book. You better. And then Natalie's like, well, I want the book to have integrity. And Natalie is like, listen, sister, you better fix this damn book or I'm going somewhere else.
Wait, you missed a giant beat of the movie, by the way.
Right.
Where Natalie kissed Cooper. But,
oh. that's after.
No, it happens more than once in this movie. She kissed him at the taco truck. Or like, no, right after when they go back to the building and like they're just like saying their goodbyes for the day or whatever. She kissed him and then sort of regrets it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, at the end of the day. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That did happen before that.
Yeah.
I recoup and out a kiss, which is very rare in a Hallmark movie that you'd have this happen so early.
Yeah.
Yep.
And kind of cheating because she's kind of,
kind of out of the blue, too.
But they're not officially boyfriend and girlfriend, so that's how they kind of get away. But I got to tell you, this movie did not follow a lot of Hallmark tropes. There was never a mention of a dead parent.
I don't see dead people.
There's no mention of a dead parent at all.
Yeah.
From none of them.
You're right.
No. No.
We came close, but even that ended up working itself out. So then Natalie goes back and tells Bob what's going on. And Bob's like, you know what? She's bluffing. Why don't you just, you don't make any changes and just, she's, whether she likes, just do what you want to do, whether she likes it or not.
Yeah.
And so then
there's another little scene where Avery and her husband are having a little conversation. She tells the husband about Bob, and then this is in the husband's office, and they're deciding who should buy lunch for who.
Yes. Right.
I thought that was kind of weird. Like, don't you guys kind of share? Or I guess they're keeping all their finances separate.
Right.
I don't think it was really like, well, who's paying for lunch today? It was more of a, hey, you're buying me lunch today. I think it was just like playful banter between them.
Okay.
Oh.
I just must have a dark view of things.
I guess you do.
I think people are insecure, and I just think there's problems in their relationship with their finances being separate. And I'm having a party.
Okay, so then we see Natalie. She's at her computer. The editing's done, and she sends it off.
Yeah, she does a whole bunch of work that she is not supposed to do. I have to take Alfonso out of the story.
Right. So she sends off the manuscript, and she messed up because the next scene, the company's out of business. The company's done.
Yeah.
So Beverly meant what she said.
No, I wrote this Beverly Wilcox reminds me of Uta Hagen,
The
HB Studios. Yeah. HB Studios and Uta Hagen. I think I said this before on the show, but when I was at HB Studios, when Uta Hagen was still alive, of course, the legendary Uta Hagen, and I was in the office one day, and I said, is Miss Hagen, is she teaching in the summer? And the woman in the office said, she never teaches in the summer! I was like, how dare you?
It's like, sorry, I just wanted to know.
So Natalie
like feels bad. Natalie feels bad because this is all her fault, right? And so she goes to the lunch place to talk to Beverly, and who is having lunch with Beverly? Yes,
Bob
the dick. He's a dick.
You
did not like Bob.
Dick.
So he basically was using her and snaked her position.
Yeah.
And
Bob with his small willy. And he doesn't say a word. He just sits there like a worm.
You know? So, we missed a beat because a few scenes ago, we find out that the little boy's mom was in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Like she was hospitalized.
Has that happened yet?
No, that's happening now. No, it's happening right now.
Oh, okay. So
We
find out the little boy's mom has been sent to the hospital and she's really sick. And so he goes to tell Natalie, and Natalie drives him to the hospital, right? And Natalie's really nice to him in the car. And he sees one of the books on the floor and she gives it to him. And then,
because his mom likes those kind of books.
Right.
So then
they're talking in the car, and we find out, because the little kid's talking, and he has a big mouth, we find out that Cooper is actually rich. And the kid's like telling her, no, he's loaded.
Yeah, he owns this building, owns a few other buildings. He used to work on Wall Street. He owns that giant plot of land where the community garden is.
And Natalie's like, oh, dear.
He owns the burger joint.
Oh, my.
And so
oh, ooh.
So they get to the hospital. We find out the little kid's mom is going to be fine. And then Natalie's like, oh, well, you know, Coop, maybe we can, you know, give this a shot. And then Coop is like, oh, really? So you find out that I have money and now you like me? Well, screw you. And so then we see Natalie packing boxes. And she's moving. She's going back to Portland. And then Beverly calls her, and Beverly's like, I need to see you right now. So she talks to Beverly, and Beverly
shows
like,
up then.
Oh, yeah. She was right
outside
the door.
They're on the phone, but then Beverly is like at the door.
Right.
I'm at the
door. So then Beverly comes in, and Beverly's like, listen, I found out about Bob. He used you, I was wrong, and now I'm already stuck in a 2-year contract with him, so there's nothing I could do about it.
But and then she's like, Natalie was her favorite editor. She was the best editor that she's had.
And then she's like, I have a 2-year contract with them, so I'm stuck. And then she was like, you know what? You were right by standing up to me. I needed to be, you know, I needed this. You were good. Like, and then she goes on to tell her that her real name is Margaret Bunn. And
Margaret Bunn.
Right. And when she moved to LA, when she was 22 years old, she wrote a spy novel. But since she was new, no one wanted her spy novel. And so she changed her name. She found two street names, Beverly Wilcox. Yeah. Beverly Boulevard and Wilcox. And now my tie-in with that is I used to live on Wilcox in Hollywood.
Yeah. I figured as much.
So I was like, oh, I lived on Wilcox. So she changed her name to Beverly Wilcox and then started doing romance novels because she figured that's what people wanted. But she said, like, spy novel, she actually really liked it. And so before she left, she gave Natalie the manuscript of the spy novel.
And the lead character in the spy novel is?
Alfonso,
the character that we got cut out of the other book.
So,
speaking of Alfonso. Anzo, I keep walking past a TV that's playing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and that Alfonso guy is working really hard.
Yes.
I don't know why he didn't get another show after that. I know he's hosting
America's Funniest Videos.
Yeah, but he could do better.
I don't know. He did another bad sitcom after that, maybe on UPN? That didn't do well. And now he hosts America's Funniest Home Videos, and he does something else, too. Like, he's paying the bills.
He's as good as Will Smith on that show. On that particular show, he's as good as Will Smith. So I'm just, you
know. And he won Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, he did.
Did he? Okay, cool.
Yeah, and so he won Dancing with the Stars.
He was literally a professional dancer before he got Fresh Prince.
Yeah, because he was in a Michael Jackson video.
Yeah, he was in the Michael Jackson Pepsi commercial. That's how he became famous.
Yeah.
And then he won Dancing with the Stars. Yeah, and then. Yeah. Then that revived his career, and now he's on America's Funniest Home Videos.
Okay, good. Because show business is weird. All right.
So then We find out Eli's mom is fine. She's going to be okay. And then the little kid, Eli, he's talking to Coop, and he's like, well, you know, when I told Natalie that you were rich, she had already said that she liked you before I told her. And then when I told her, she actually got kind of weird. So
was all that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's like, so she wasn't liking you for your money. She already liked you.
Yeah.
Update on Alfonso Ribeiro's career after Fresh Prince. There was another sitcom starring LL Cool J called In the House. There was also on NBC.
Yeah, I remember that.
After Fresh Prince ended, Alfonso played Carlton on that other show as well. NBC did that a lot back in the 90s.
Right. LL Cool J.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
Yeah. And Estelle Getty played Sophia Petrillo on four different series as a series regular.
Right.
Who?
Estelle Getty. She played Sophia from the Golden Girls.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we talked about that before. She was on Empty Nest.
She was on Golden Girls, then Golden Palace, and then back to NBC for Empty Nest, and then Nurses as well.
Nurses?
Oh, yeah. It was a spinoff of Empty Nest.
Right. With Lonnie Anderson.
Oh, boy.
She joined later, though. She wasn't on when it first launched.
And what I was going to say is, by the way, LL Cool J can get it.
Oh, yeah? I agree.
Oh, he could get it. Oh, yeah.
Les loves Cool James.
I do.
Les loves. What do you mean he can get it? What does that mean? What does that mean he can get it?
The sex.
You can get the sex.
Yes.
You get the sex.
LL Cool J is hard as battle. Any better? I don't care. You, everybody here just go and rock the bells. See, I can get it too.
He could get it. Cooper could get it. And Avery's husband could get it.
Avery's husband can definitely
and me,
get it.
I'm throwing myself in there too. Okay, let's go before anybody disputes that.
Cooper calls the office. And Isabel answers the phone, and she's crying, and the office is empty, and she's like, oh, Natalie's moving, like, Natalie's heading back to Portland, and then she asks him, are you the surfer? And then she's like, you know, Natalie's leaving. Coop drives to go and get her, but his car breaks down, because he drives, like, a bad car. His car breaks down, so he gets in the food truck, and he drives the food truck to the airport. And so he runs into the airport. Natalie sees him. They kiss. And then the next
scene... She's reading the manuscript.
Oh, that's right. She's reading the manuscript.
Yeah.
And then the next scene, the publishing company, they're having like a press conference party thing. The publishing company is back up and running again because Coop bought part of the company, and so Coop is now a partner in the company.
Yeah.
And he drives a shitty car. It's weird.
And then they find out that, oh, you know what? I forgot a big part. When he was yelling at Natalie when they were having their fight, he told Natalie that he was on Wall Street and he was very unhappy and he hated his life, and so he quit and decided just to have fun in life, and that's why he's living the way he's living.
Yes. He has an MBA from Stanford, and his first name is John.
Yes, his name is John Cooper.
John. Good.
They're talking about the company, and they have like this new hit novel that's put them back on the map. And this new book is very successful. And it's the book is written by this woman named Margaret. So basically, Morgan Fairchild, Margaret Beverly, walks up and she's
Margaret
to everybody.
Bum.
And so she's like, I am now working with this company. And then, you know, there's another company that I can't mention. So basically, she's double dipping.
Yeah. Well, she's saying that, hey, you probably know me as this other author, but I can't say her name at this press conference out of legal obligations. But I'm excited about this new mystery novel I've written.
Right. And so then everybody's happy. The end.
Well, and I wonder really what the quality. What was the really the quality of a novel that she wrote when she was 22? And that must have needed some work.
Well, with a good editor.
But then I think that book was written from the heart. As opposed to this, like her romance novels were books that she wrote because that's what people wanted.
Yeah. Well, you know what you were saying earlier, Kurt, about the, you know, this idea of, you know, they keep saying that Natalie is a great editor. And that's how he said that they kind of paid off, but they kind of don't, is at the end of the movie, we find out that this this book that Beverly really wanted to write is actually good, and Natalie saw something under the surface. But they could have paid that off more by maybe Natalie went through and edited that original book and said, yeah, this is what's good, and here's what works, and you should be writing this book, not that romance trash.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I would have liked to seen more of that. I'm not quite sure how they would have conveyed that, but yeah. And my other thing I was thinking of was what's the point of this movie? Like, are you supposed to look for a person who looks good on paper, or are you just supposed to follow your heart?
She kind of had
it both ways, though. She kind of had it both ways. She's not with a guy who's poor. The guy's got some cash.
But the guy isn't good on paper, though.
Right.
He's not good on paper.
He's not good on
paper. He is good on paper.
He owns all his properties. Yeah, but she didn't know that. It wasn't on the paper.
Right. Exactly.
Well, it is now. She didn't actually begin to have a real relationship with him until she actually had all of that information.
Yes. But see, now, though...
Which I think sends a bad message. I do agree with you on that.
But then she passed the test because she didn't go, you know... She liked him before she found out he had money.
And then he had money and is able to... Helped buy the publishing house where she was working, so she remains employed.
Yeah. Right. So apparently this all worked out really well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm going to think about that because I'm trying to think what's their... Yeah, it looks like they're trying to have it both ways here.
Now...
Because I get it both ways, too. I get the point both ways, too, because you want to follow your heart, but there are... I do believe that there are certain things that that you have to keep in mind...
You know what I think they're saying? I think they're saying when you follow your heart, sometimes there's a little reward waiting for you that you don't know. Like you don't know
good
who
luck
you're
with that.
Following. Like maybe sometimes you follow your heart and good things happen.
Yeah. Be careful out there, folks.
And then when you think about it, the thing is, because judging from her past track record, she didn't really care about the money anyway because she was dating all those losers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Oh, good for her.
Now, I really liked this movie. I really liked it, and I think we're two for two because I liked the movie last week, too.
I loved last week's movie, Psycho Granny.
Oh, Psycho Granny.
If you haven't seen that one yet, listen to our podcast about it because it's good. But seriously, go watch that movie because it's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, now, what did you guys think of the movie?
Kurt?
Perfect on paper.
Yeah,
I thought it was all right in terms of Hallmark. I wouldn't have watched this otherwise. I probably would have turned it off. But I think judging it by the Hallmark movie standards, it was way above average. Absolutely. I would put this in the top percentile of Hallmark movies, which I've seen.
Okay, that's good.
Absolutely.
You know, hearing that review, I think I liked it more than I was originally giving it credit for. Like, I enjoyed Morgan Fairchild in Morgan Fairchild mode.
Right.
I thought the cast was pretty likable, except for Bob, but he's not supposed to be likable anyway. Yeah.
Right.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Interesting cast. The woman was, yeah, the lead woman was a kind of an interesting actress. She wasn't quite your, she wasn't a bland actress. I thought she was kind of,
who's Teresa Lopez Fitzgerald?
A little quirky. There's a little quirkiness to her, which I liked.
Right.
Yes, the woman who played Natalie.
But she's good. She's cute.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you could certainly be quirky and cute.
So then, Kurt, you actually approve.
Yeah, I said so. Yeah. I got a few little issues.
Very reluctantly.
Yeah.
Right, like this is good.
Well, I'm saying yeah. But it's making me think. As I said, I'm thinking. Like, what were they trying to tell us?
Right. Don't judge a book by its cover.
But I have some ideas now.
Well, I think you're overthinking what they're trying to tell you. I think it's obvious what they're trying to tell you, but based on how the outcome of the movie ended, you're trying to reverse engineer what that message should be.
Right.
It's a lot of work.
A lot of work.
My work cut out for me. No, I'm probably not gonna think about it anymore.
So okay, good.
We're okay.
Yeah. All right. So
All right. What did? Who's left? What did you think?
It's 11 o'clock.
You liked it less. Oh yeah, yeah. Here we are. It's 10:54.
And so now I know what Kurt goes through.
Yeah, so, I gotta go early and go to work next day.
So our next movie is a Lifetime movie.
Okay.
I'm gonna write it down.
And right, so we enjoyed Psycho Granny so much that the movie that we are going to watch for next week is Psycho Stripper.
Yeah, I saw that listed somewhere.
Now, the movie is about a strip joint, but it's not just any strip joint. It's a male strip joint.
And oh, come on.
Thank you, Les.
I thought this was going to be like a fee. I mean, really?
Yes.
All right.
Well, okay, think of it this way, Kurt. With male strip joints,
I mean, it doesn't bother me. I was just hoping, yeah, okay.
Strippers.
All right.
And Psycho Stripper.
Okay, continue, please.
It's about strippers getting, male strippers getting murdered.
Nobody wants that.
And so someone goes undercover to solve the mystery of why are these male strippers getting murdered.
And I bet it's an attractive woman, Kurt.
How did I get roped into this?
Well,
this is taking it too far. You're taking advantage of my kindness.
Okay, so the next
one, I have to watch a movie about male strippers.
Is this is this airing for the first time this weekend, or is it already out there?
No. It's on YouTube.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Is this an actual legit good copy of this movie?
I watched the first 10 minutes of it.
Okay, so the other one I watched more than 10 minutes, and then it locked up, and it was the wrong movie.
Well, I watched it, and I saw a dead male stripper, so I know it's about the movie. And Jason, I tell you what, for the 10 minutes I saw, this movie does not disappoint.
I could tell you. Those YouTube videos, look at the comments, and if it's the wrong movie, people usually call it out.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm just pulling it up on my Apple TV, though, so I don't see the comments. So I'll need to vet it on an iPad or something first.
Because, yeah, I'm watching it on an iPad. Like, this one I watched in a coffee house. Where, okay, so Jason, get this. So I'm in Cincinnati, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I go to this coffee house, and it's a really nice coffee house. Like, really nice. And so I order a cup of coffee, and a large cup of coffee, too. And it was, like, gourmet designer coffee, right? And so the woman's like, okay, that'll be $2, please. And I was like, like, I gasped. And she's like, what, it's too expensive? And I'm like, no, I'm from Los Angeles. $2 for this coffee, it's great.
Yeah, that's really cheap.
And the coffee was, like, really good.
Wow.
And this coffee house was, like, so she-she that instead of having, like, the milk things in crates. They had like a milk bar where you could go and like it was like you could pick your own, but it was like a beer thing.
Okay, like taps.
But it was milk, and you could pick your different kinds of milk. So yeah, they are way undercharging for their coffee.
Fancy.
Yes. It was so I realized, you know what, I'm gonna actually like it here because my money's gonna go a long way.
I like that.
Fancy.
So guys, I need
like India.
Right?
Well, I've heard in India you can live very cheaply. So Cincinnati is much like India. Okay.
So I gotta go because I gotta walk up a hill.
Oh my heavens! Les has to walk up a hill.
The place where I'm staying is like it's like on a hill. Over, it's a very steep hill.
Over the Rhine, it's called.
Great, but walking up is a whole other thing.
Now, are you staying in their dormitory that they provide?
No, they don't stay at the dorms anymore.
Oh.
So okay. I'm staying in this house. The company has a house, like this, because the No Theater, they have like an actor's house, like for their.
Oh, I think I stayed there.
Because they have a season, you know, they have a season. They have a, you know, their season goes all year long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I guess they put their actors up in this house. It's a cool house, actually.
I stayed there once, yeah. Because mm-hmm. I did a special event. Yeah.
And so it's actually kind of fun because there's like, they're the regular people that like live there normally, and then there's four artists that are staying there from the festival. So it's actually pretty fun.
Okay, cool.
Before I go, I can't forget, if you want to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us on our Facebook page, which is A Lifetime of Hallmark, or you can find us on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark, or you can find
Lifetime
me...
of Hallmark podcast.
Oh, Lifetime of Hallmark podcast. Yes, thank you, Jason.
Sure.
And then you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett, and Kirkendall is spelled KURKENDAAL. And you can find me on Instagram at Kirkendall. Jason.
You will not find me on Wilcox because that's where Les lived, not me. But you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Big Shot Jason.
Kurt.
I'm on Facebook. You can find me there. Oh, campusmartius.com. You can watch my TV pilot. And if you're hearing this before June 2nd, I am going to be in an improv show, Sunday Night Improv at 6 o'clock at Stand Up New York.
And if you're hearing this June 1st through the 15th, and you're in the Ohio area, come and see my show, Walking While Black, in Moscow at the Cincinnati Fringe Festival. They have a website, www.cincy.com. And as a matter of fact, since the No Theater was kind enough to give me this space, why don't you come and check out other shows at the Fringe Festival as well? It's looking like it's going to be fun.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of great people. Cody Clark is there doing a show. And
yeah. So come. Check it out. And if you come and check it out, come and say hi.
Ooh.
All right, guys. I'm jet lagged. I'm tired. I gotta walk up a hill.
Same.
Then I gotta watch ABC.com because I have General Hospital to watch when I get home.
Wait. Okay. You have a lot to do.
Yeah. And then Days of Our Lives on NBC.com. So, you know, I got a busy night ahead of me. Anyway.
All right. I'm going to bed.
So I will talk to you gentlemen next week.
All right. Psycho Stripper.
Psycho Stripper. Woo-woo-woo. Okay,
next
bye.
Week.
Bye.
Bye.